All right, but now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. The world hates you, and the evil one is looking to destroy you. Welcome to Mercy Hill, by the way, no matter where you're watching this from, whether it be a living room, maybe somewhere on a podcast or whatever. We have a very encouraging and uplifting message for you today about evil, demonic forces, Satan, and spiritual war. Obviously, guys, I'm trying to start this message out a little bit facetious and be a little bit ironic. But the irony is that in all actuality, today is a message about Satan, demons, the evil one, the way he tries to wreak havoc in our life through gossip, lies, fear, sexual sin, extraordinary demonic things, all of that. And yet, I can frame this as one of the more encouraging messages that I can bring. Welcome again. Listen, if you're a first-time guest with us, we're excited that you are here. You've joined us via some kind of way, YouTube, Facebook. You're here today watching on our website. We'd love for you to fill out a Connect card and join us, continue to be with us and to join us and to jump into what we're doing here. We have been in a series here about Christian mission and about what we are supposed to do in the world. And today we're going to continue right on with that message by saying that Christians on their mission in this world are not ones who bury their head in the sand and act as if evil and brokenness aren't there. They can be encouraged, they can stand fast, they can have joy, they can anchor themselves in the next life and in heaven, but it's not from being the what Fox, has always made fun of Christians as being, sort of the Ned Flanders of the world. Hey, brother, everything's fine, slap a smile on it or whatever. Y'all, Christianity is not that way. I can stand here today and I can say simultaneously, the evil one is after you. He seeks to lie, kill, destroy. He wants to ruin our ministry. And yet at the same time, we can be encouraged because Jesus Christ prayed that we would be kept from evil. And before we ever prayed to Jesus, Jesus prayed to us. And then, y'all, he gave his life to cement our protection from the evil one, okay? It's a serious message. Satan, demons, evil forces, at the same time, it can be an encouraging one. We're looking for 4 weeks at this idea of being sent out. We're spending a few weeks in a very few verses. We're talking about living every day with eternity in mind. We're talking about daily rhythms with an everlasting impact. We're talking about gospel intentionality in the routine. And as we go through our daily sacrificial lives that are on purpose for his mission, we have got to realize together that we stir up the hornet's nest. It is not just about the missionary in Kenya. It is about the everyday believer in the carpool line, praying for that school, discipling their kids. It is not just about the one who goes to the nations. It is also about the one who is very concerned with their neighbors. It is the one who brings the gospel to their workplace and brings a different spirit to their workplace. The gospel brings a spirit inside of you, and that spirit inside of you shines into the darkness and all of these areas. Y'all, it's not just about the missionaries that are out there. It's the everyday, ordinary missionary life. It stirs up the hornet's nest. The darkness, the forces of evil want to come against us, but here's the big idea, y'all. God protects believers from the evil one. And as you're going to see today, that doesn't mean that Christians don't ever suffer. It doesn't mean that Christians don't ever get knocked down, but they are not crushed. They are not destroyed. And in the end, they do win over the forces of darkness and evil because Jesus Christ has already purchased our victory on the cross. Y'all, tough message, but super encouraging message today, and I think it's very apt for the times that we are in. Let's dive in. John chapter 17. Like I said, a few weeks, a few verses. I read this one last week, but now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Talked a lot about joy last week. You can go check that out on our podcast or on our website. Here's our two verses for today. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Verse 14 tells us that the world hated them because of the word that Jesus gave them. Now you think about who is the them here. Certainly Jesus' disciples, certainly the ones that would believe because of their word are in view in this passage. And what is the passage saying? What is Jesus praying for us? What is he preparing us for? Here's what he's saying, that when light comes into the darkness, people squint their eyes. That when light comes in, there is a pain that comes from opening your eyes to the light when you have been in darkness, and therefore, y'all Christians rub the world the wrong way. They are not of the world. Christians rub the world the wrong way, and therefore, they are hated by the world. You know, in ancient times, it was like this. People would say this in ancient times when Christianity first started taking root. In ancient times, the culture was stingy with money, but free with sex. Okay? And what happens when Christians come along? Well, this is just one of a thousand things that they do differently. Christians come along and they say, no, we're super stingy with sex. Like, we think God created it to be in a covenant of marriage and all of that. But then they're super free with their money and generosity. When the world sees something that is backwards to them, when it's totally opposite, it is the light being shined in. And it is no different in our day, believer. The culture bristles at the way that we talk about issues of life and marriage and the environment, issues of racism, classism, issues of poverty alleviation. These things are complex issues that we can't see fit tight into a nice little political box, and thereby we rub the world the wrong way. Jesus is getting us ready for all of these things. When we speak the gospel to a people who are, Ephesians 2, dead in their sin, they are under the sway of the enemy. They're following the course of this world. They're following the prince of the power of the air. It's light being shined in to the darkness, and it's painful. The world hates God's people because God's people are not of this world. I don't know about you. I tell my kids they're not allowed to say the word hate. You know, it's a strong word, right? Like, I don't want them to say, man, they can't, I hate. No, we're not going to do that in our home. This is what the Bible is saying about the way that people feel about Christianity, that there is derision, there is a strong dislike, there is almost an aversion to them. And I will say, you know, in our Western context, y'all, we get a taste of what our brothers and sisters feel in a full-bodied way around the world. There is an aversion to Christianity. There is a hatred, and man, that can lead to a lot of different places. It can lead to persecution. It can lead to social, you know, feeling distant. It can lead to kind of isolation. It can lead to discouragement. But here's what the Bible says. Even in light of the world rejecting us, Jesus doesn't pray that we're taken out of the world. He doesn't pray that because of this harshness that we face, that we are taken out. Instead, he calls us to be kept. He calls us to stay. He calls us to remain. Jesus doesn't take us out. He sends us in. You know, you have Old Testament examples of this. A guy like Jonah, for example. Man, he's mad. He wants to be taken out of the world. God's like, no, that's not my desire for you. You wouldn't be here if I didn't have a reason for you to be here. Believer, you are in your neighborhood. You are in your job. You are in your school. We are in the times that we are in for a reason. I'm not saying that God causes evil and brokenness in this world, but he doesn't waste a drop of it. He uses it, and we are here to make a difference. The world hates us. Satan is active, but that is not a reason for us to throw in the towel. If God didn't have a plan to use you in this life, believer, you wouldn't be here. He doesn't pray that we are taken out of the world because we face such darkness and hatred and all of that. Instead, he prays that we would be kept from the evil one in order that we can continue the mission that we are on. John chapter 17 is all about the mission. Jesus is on a mission. He ends up saying in verse 18, hey, I sent, the, you know, as I was sent, they're going to be sent. It's all about the mission. And I think what we see here is this idea. Are we going to face hatred? Yes. Are we going to face the evil one? I'm talking about supernatural, demonic, Satan, demons. Yes. Is that a reason for us to want to tap out in the world? It absolutely is not. Why? The goal is not disinfected Christians from the world that are put on a shelf, that are nice and neat and that are safe. The goal instead is that we would have discipled Christians living in service, not disinfected on a shelf, but discipled and into service, into the game. And I know what some of you are saying that are seeing this, because, man, in a wide audience, man, when everything is getting streamed online, and maybe it's a podcast, YouTube, Facebook, maybe right live on our website or whatever it is, you're seeing it. Maybe you're thinking to myself, yourself, you're like, Pastor, I'm not, that ain't me. You know, and maybe it's not you because you're not a believer. I'm going to talk to you about that in a little bit. But maybe you're a believer and you're still thinking to yourself, that's not me. I don't know that I can enter in. The evil, the world, hatred, all of that, like Jesus is sending me in. I just want to tap out. I'm not sure if that's me. You know why I know it is you? Here's why. Because God promises, Jesus prays that you will be kept ultimately from the evil one. You know what that means? It means that ultimately he cannot snatch you out of the Father's hand. If you're a believer, ultimately, he cannot destroy you. If you are truly a believer, you have been covered. I'm going to call you to lean into that. He prays not that we would be taken out. He prays not that the world would stop in its hatred or the evil one would not have any sway in our life. Instead, he prays that we would be kept from the evil one, all right? Now, what does that mean? We get into verse 15 here. It talks about, I don't ask that they be taken out, but that you keep them from the evil one. What does it mean to be kept? You know, at our house right now, we're having an interesting idea with this because it's a real good illustration of this, of being kept. This past week, we went and bought some baby chicks, okay? Everything going on in the world, everybody's stockpiling food. You guys are buying eggs. I want the egg makers, okay? I want the ones that can continue the process. So we go buy the chicks. And, man, just having a good time with that. My kid, we do it pretty much every spring, and my kids are doing it. Man, they're feeding them, they're changing the water, they're keeping the light on in there for them. And the big thing is that we have to have them inside of this big crate. Why? Kind of a dog crate with wire and all that. Why? Well, because, I don't know how to tell you this, okay? I've needed to confess this for a while, church. I'm fully expecting that I may hear from the elders on this, but, you know, with everything going on in the world, I feel like I got to just come clean and get it out, right? The Hoppers have a cat, okay? I know, all right? We have a cat. It's a barn cat. If the elders ask for my resignation, I honestly will understand, okay? But this is where we are. We have become cat people. We have a barn cat now, and so that cat, you know, that barn cat, she's a hunter, and she's going to get after those chicks, and so the kids have to really keep that door shut. And, I mean, they're feeding. That's what it means to be kept, fed, took care of, sheltered, protected. This is what Jesus is praying for us, and he cements it with the gospel. He cements it with the Spirit of God coming into our heart. This is a prayer that is answered. Okay, he prays that we are kept from the evil one. Now, I know what some of us are thinking, okay? Because what you're thinking is, man, in the recent time, what we're facing right now with the coronavirus, for example, or, different persecutions that have raged throughout history, you think to yourself, yes, but Christian people do suffer. How much of that is flesh? How much of that is just the brokenness of the world? Certainly some of that is probably demonically inspired. If you look at the Gospels, there are times that Jesus prayed for people to be healed from just being sick, and there are times that people were sick and Jesus healed that they'd be prayed that they'd be healed of demonic influences. I mean, it's hard to know sometimes, but certainly I'm saying we will be kept from the evil one. Somebody's going to ask, but what about Christians who face hardship and persecution? And I know that if you're skeptical and you're watching this right now, this might not be the answer that you want to hear, but it is the answer that the Bible gives, and it is one that I take great comfort in, and this is the game. Y'all, in Christianity, the game is rigged because there is certainly suffering in this life, but there is nothing that Satan can take away that is not returned tenfold in the kingdom. There is nothing that can befall us right now that is not corrected and fixed, and maybe will even be sweeter in the kingdom of God in heaven, because we can look back and we remember what it was like being so broken and how God fixed this and how God loved us enough to send his son Jesus Christ for us. I saw Pastor Tony Evans, great radio preacher that I have listened to a lot, and my dad grew up listening to him on the radio, my dad and all that kind of stuff. His wife died and his son gave the eulogy. You may have seen it. This went kind of viral on YouTube. But here's what his son was praying. His son was asking God, why would you take her? Why haven't you healed her? And this is what God spoke to him in that moment. After his mother died, God said to him, son, you're asking about all of these things and what's going to happen with my mom and all of that. And he said, son, there's really only been two answers to your prayer. And the answers are this. Either she will be healed or she will be healed. Either she will walk again or she will walk again. Either she will go back to fullness or she will go back to fullness. Either in this life, God heals and protects, and he does supernaturally. We see that in the scripture, seen it in my own life. at the same time, if there is some persecution that comes, if the demonic forces end up snuffing out a life on this earth, we are healed. We are brought to fullness in the next life. The game is rigged. God keeps us from the evil one. Okay, who is the evil one? That's probably maybe even what piqued your interest in checking this sermon out if you're not a normal Mercy Hill folk. But here's the deal. The evil one is this: Satan, demons, demonic forces. You know, and I know some of us that might be super skeptical, you immediately say, and let me get on a caveat with this. When I begin to talk about devil and Satan and all of that, I mean, people think, here we go, this is it. This is the southern kind of uneducated religious. And what people think is, haven't we moved beyond all that? Like, hasn't modernization and education and secularization, you know, moving away from the religious roots of a people, haven't we moved beyond this? Well, actually, you know what I would say is that the world has not. The world has become more religious, not less. You know what's interesting? The promise of secularization has failed. And what I mean by that is, if you go back to the mid 20th century, what you end up having, great book on this I'm reading, Rebecca McLaughlin, Confronting Christianity, 12 Hard Truths that she takes a look at. This is what was promised in the middle of the 20th century, that the more modern and educated the world becomes, religious belief would retreat around the world, and it has ended up in total failure. As religiosity around the world, not just Christianity, but religiosity around the world is surging and is continuing to march forward day after day, week after week. And then you see things like this among professing Christians. I think the promise of secularization was that, yeah, there might be some people that hold on to their religious beliefs, but not the educated ones. And what we're actually finding out is those that are highly educated are often more zealous, at least as zealous, if not more. You know, citing study after study, she shows that in America, there is this narrative that all the Christian kids grow up and leave the faith, and it's just not true. That 40% of people who grow up in a non-religious background eventually have some type of move toward religion, while only 20% of those raised in a religious background end up switching to a non-religious scenario. Here's what that means. In other words, what the studies are showing is that secular people are twice as likely to raise someone who becomes a Christian than Christians are likely to raise someone who becomes secular. Further, full-bodied Christianity is on a rise, while the nominal, milquetoast, no-conviction Christianity is on its way out. And you look around the world. Hey, if modernization proved and promised that secularization would be something that we would see worldwide and that people would become less and less religious, then how do you explain a culture like China who has had state-imposed secularization for decades, and yet there's 68 million Christians probably in that country by 2030. People say by 2050, the rate at which Christianity is growing in a place like China, that the whole nation could end up being a majority Christian nation. Here's all the point that I want to make. Secularization was born out of arrogance in the West, and it promised that the world would follow a white Western view of the world, and it has not. My question is, why has it not? And that's what gets back to our point today, okay? Hey, complex. It is, I understand. There's probably a lot of reasons, but one of those reasons is that I think it's rather easy for people to wake up in the world and look around and realize that it seems like there's a spiritual battle. It seems like there truly is evil, and the Bible has had that peg from the beginning. Revelation 12 calls Satan the accuser. John 8 calls him the father of lies. The evil one works in ordinary and extraordinary ways. We see that throughout the Bible. One of our City Project students this past summer was approached by a demonically possessed or influenced person. This person walks up to her, immediately calls her by name, begins to speak in a language that only Christelle knew of everybody on our team. She began to speak to her in French. She calls out her sin. She begins to try to discourage her. How does she know all these things about Christelle? Because the demons are watching, not because they're omniscient, but they're experts in human behavior. They're looking for people, 1 Peter 5:8, that they can devour. That's what the roaring lion is doing. Through the Gospels, what we see is that there are forces of darkness that perform false miracles, that make people sick, that possess and torment. There's also ordinary demonic schemes of Satan. We got to know the schemes of the devil. There are also ordinary demonic schemes of the devil, like gossip, lies, Man, you see these things take root, they'll split a church in half. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about bitterness as something that has demonically influenced roots. The point is this: the evil forces are alive and active with the goal of throwing Christians off their mission. That's the context of John chapter 17. God is not just asking, Jesus is not just asking that we would be kept from the evil one. He's asking that we would be kept from the evil one in order that, and in light of the mission that he has given us. That as we are sent out, we wouldn't be taken out of the world because we're discouraged by its hatred, and we wouldn't be crushed by Satan. Knocked down maybe sometimes, but not destroyed and not crushed by Satan, so that we could continue the mission that he put us on. And y'all, that's true whether you're a missionary in Kenya or a missionary in the carpool line, whether you're trying to reach the nations or your neighbors. It's life that has entered a spiritual battle, and that is true of every single believer. I've got one application point for us today, y'all, and it's this. I want to call our church triumph over the evil one by leaning into the gospel. Maybe I should say throwing yourself into the gospel. John 17 is a prayer in light of the cross. Let me say that one more time for emphasis, okay? John 17 is a prayer in light of the cross. Jesus knows what he's about to walk into. Here's what he's saying in John 17. God, I came to do a job. I've done that job. You wanted me to gather these people, I've gathered them. You wanted me to give them your word, I've given them your word. Now I'm going to give my life for them, and in so doing, I am covering them. I'm going to send the Spirit of God into their life. I think what Jesus is saying is this: Jesus went to the cross to ensure that his prayer of protection would be answered, and it was, and it is. He is praying, keep them from the evil one. How is that going to be answered? I'm about to walk to the cross. When I go to the cross, I am going to cement the legacy that I started on this earth, that I cover them and that the evil one does not have them. See, here's what we see, all right? If you're new to the gospel and you've heard people throw that term out, maybe people say something like saved. Maybe you're seeing this today and maybe you've heard people say things, ask Jesus into your heart. All this kind of stuff we say in Southern culture, okay? This is the, let me boil it down all the way down. Evil, God's prayer, how does the gospel, this is it, all right? In your sin, you fell under the wrath of God. That when we sin, the wrath of God is against us. Okay, now, here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 2. It's not just that. That spiritually in sin, we die. And because we're dead, we follow the one who is kind of over the dead, if you want to put it like that, all right? You follow the course of the world. You follow the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2 says. Here's what it says. That in deadness, we are under the sway of the evil one. We are under his influence. But because Jesus came and lived a life that we didn't live, sinless, died a death that we deserved on the cross because the wrath of God fell upon him and not us. And then 3 days later, he raised again. And through faith in him, through faith in what he has done, we can be reborn. He is called the new Adam. It's a new humanity that is not under the sway of the evil one. Okay, because we are born again in him, that means if you put your faith in the gospel, you pray, God, I understand Jesus stood in my place. I confess my sin. I trust what Christ has done. You are no longer slaves of darkness, church. You are sons and daughters of light. That's what the Bible tells us. Colossians 2, 13 and 15. And you who were dead in your trespass and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespass by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Listen, verse 15. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to, that's talking about spiritual darkness, and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in the darkness, by triumphing over them in him. It is the gospel, it is in the gospel that this prayer is answered. Jesus has overcome the world and he has made us more than conquerors, okay? So lean into what he has done. Don't fear. Don't have to bury your head in the sand. It's always one of those two. No. You can lean in, understand it's real, and understand that there is encouragement today in the gospel. I want to talk to two groups of people, y'all. I want to talk to the believer in the room. A believer online, maybe in your room, in your living room, or wherever. And I want to talk to the one that's not quite a believer. Maybe you're brand new to Mercy Hill. You're brand new to this podcast or whatever. Let me talk to both of you guys, and I'm done. All right. The first thing is this: for the believer, does this mean that Satan cannot disrupt your life? Doesn't mean that. Don't get arrogant. Doesn't mean that Satan can't touch you. I mean, you think about Paul. Paul was buffeted by Satan. He wrote half the New Testament. It means that we will not be destroyed. It means that we won't be crushed. I thought about this. My first play ever in a college football game was memorable to me, okay? I was on the kickoff team. I ran all the way down on the kickoff team. It was the end of our first game, and I got a chance to jump in there and go after somebody, make a tackle. Man, I get out in front of everybody, and I get through the wedge and get there. And man, here's the ball carrier's running right at me, and I break down to make a tackle. And right when I break down to make a tackle, there was a guy from the other end of the field that had watched me the entire way. He had tracked me for 60 yards and had 60 yards worth of momentum, and he's running directly at me. I don't see him. Now, subsequently, these types of plays are illegal in the game of football, okay, and should be. But he is running full speed, 60 yards of momentum, and what we call ear hold, okay? It's illegal now in football, but he ear holed me, meaning he put the crown of his helmet in my ear hole right here as I'm broken down, and it was a crack that could be heard all through the whole stadium. I mean, you heard the whole stadium go, ooh, one of those, okay? I mean, literally, I had to take my helmet, pick up my ear pads out of my helmet, my mouthpiece, all that kind of stuff, and pick that stuff up and go off the sideline with it. And I remember going off the sideline actually feeling okay and thinking to myself, man, I thank God for this helmet, you know? I mean, it just would have absolutely killed me. I trot off the field thanking God for the helmet. This is my point, knocked down but not crushed. We are covered in the gospel. We are armed. Our ultimate spiritual destination in heaven is secure. We don't have to fear the evil one, but it doesn't mean that we can't be knocked down. Maybe some of you feel knocked down today. Maybe some of you feel knocked down because the enemy is playing on fear right now, worry, anxiety. Man, maybe he's feeding lies into your mind as if somebody knows the future. You're thinking about the future. You're thinking about how your retirement is doing. You're thinking about your future health, your kids, all that kind of stuff. I want to remind you something today. You are covered. You are spiritually armed. Maybe the last couple of weeks have not been great for you in terms of fear, worry, anxiety. Maybe there are some things that are going on and the enemy is trying to get a foothold in your life. But the thing is, believer, even though you have been knocked down last week, you are not crushed, you are not destroyed. There is nothing Satan can throw at you. Sure, he can knock you down, but he cannot steal your joy. He can knock you down, but he cannot take your place in heaven. He can knock you down, but the gospel is still true. And I pray that you will see this today. I mean, I've been thinking about this all week. Man, have I been knocked down at times? Yes, I've been knocked down at times. You're talking about a 19-year-old, 3-year-old special needs child in our home. 19-pound, 3-year-old child in our home. You know, you're talking about, you know, the different things with the financial markets and church and all that. Of course, there's moments where you sort of get knocked down and you feel Satan kind of gnawing and trying to feed lies. But you know what I've got to say today, man? We have the Word of God to stand on. The God of this world, He is the one that is from eternity and to eternity. He has called us to be anxious for nothing. He has called us to stand as a shining light during this time. And I've begun to think about this, church. Here's the deal. It's like, man, are you kidding me? Worldwide pandemic, a nation that is locked down, retirements that are slashed. Christian, you were created for a moment like this. I don't like it. You don't like it? I don't want to be here. But Christian, we were made to shine and to have joy and to be able to put on display to the world. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we might be knocked down, but we are not destroyed. We are not crushed, and we will rise. Man, there are two ways together, Christian, that I want you to think about living this out, the Spirit of God in you. This is a moment to shine. Two ways that I want you to think about this. Hey, man, I'm so excited about this. Y'all, groups are starting back this week through Microsoft Teams. The church don't cancel, okay? The church never cancels. It just continues in a new way. Despite persecution, despite quarantine, despite whatever it is, the church moves on. And that's what we're doing. I'm so excited about this, y'all. Your groups are starting back this weekend. Social distancing does not and should not mean spiritual distancing. The church is not canceled. Groups are not canceled. They're continuing in a new way. We're going to gather in groups this week. I had a chance to pilot this last week in our group, and I got to admit, I'm going to tell you the truth. After it was over, me and Anna looked at each other. We're like, man, doing groups, sitting in the living room, sweatpants on, not bad, okay? Not a bad deal. Pushing each other to grow, talking about opportunities to pray. Y'all, this is what we need to do, and I want you to be looking out for the communication that's coming out and dive in, man, dive all the way back in. Secondly, I would say this, let's be the church through No More Spectators. Let's be the church through tagging and inviting people on our staff. Man, they've been off social media, but they're getting back on Facebook, trying to figure out how they can be a missionary during this time, getting in the Facebook groups that the campuses are setting up to go through the sermons and experience the service all together at certain times and all of this stuff. Y'all, we have to stay steady in a crazy time. We have the opportunity to do that and to be on mission. Not fearful, but be the church, gather together. Man, we have the Spirit inside of us. We have the opportunity to shine despite the evil one coming knocking at the door. You know, I thought about it like this. Somebody said this to me. Hey, we're in Christ and we're in the triad. You know, we can only do mission in the world, not from retreating in the world. So what does that look like for the Christian right now? And let me say this as I close, okay? I'm going to shoot you as straight as I can if you're an unbeliever. You know, I see all this pop culture stuff. Man, I see this stuff that's coming out. You know, I see the stuff that's been out. I see the stuff about the brokenness of the world, things like contagion type things. And then you begin to see things, possession and scary movies that come out and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to be honest with you and tell you why, when I think about all of these things, why it's not so scary to me, especially in the demonic forces and the realms and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you why. Because I know that my soul is not available to those things. It's been purchased by the blood of Christ. Can I be influenced? Yeah. Can I be knocked down? Yeah. Can I be destroyed? No. Can I be taken? No. Nobody's going to take a believer out of a strong man's hand. It's not going to happen. Now, my question for you is this. If there are millions of Christians around the world that don't stand in fear of the demonic forces, not arrogantly, but they don't stand in fear of being taken because they know that their soul is not available, is yours? And if it is, would you lean into the gospel for many reasons? One of them is that his prayer of protection would be over you. Hey, whether you're on Facebook, whether you're on YouTube, whether you're on our website, there is a link somewhere on there everywhere to fill out a Connect card. Let us know how to pray for you. We would love to get in touch with you, have a pastor email, talk, chat, call, whatever it is. We want to talk to you about these things. We would love for you to give your life to Christ, take your soul off the market, all right? Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, and God, it's our prayer that we would all throughout the triad, Christians, stand boldly, not in fear of the evil one. God, not arrogantly, understanding that we can be influenced, but not crushed, not destroyed, not stolen, not taken. Oh, I pray that there would be such an encouragement in that, and that the church would rise, realizing we're in Christ and we're in the triad. We have not been taken out of the world. We have been sent in. Father, I thank you. And God, we are so encouraged by the truth of your word today. Lord, I just pray that you will fill us with it over the course of this week. God, I pray you would get our groups off to an incredible start, that new people would be finding their way in. God, I pray that we would have hundreds of Connect cards filled out throughout this weekend service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, hey guys, before we get done today, I want to move into a time of giving. We are excited about a new platform, y'all, that is coming out. I don't know how long we're going to be online, but in light of that, we kind of had a new platform coming anyway. We've kind of double-timed that in order to get it out because it is way better when it comes to giving online. Y'all, generosity fuels the mission here at Mercy Hill. You guys know this. Man, it happens all the time in so many different ways. I know people say things, you know, think, well, where does the money go? And, you know, buildings and missions and all that kind of, what about just everyday stuff? Well, how about this? In a time like this, all four of our Mercy Hill locations have been turned into donation sites for Out of the Garden, for Backpack Beginnings, for things like that. And our college students are trying to, our college ministry is trying to help facilitate ways of learning and things like that using our facilities. Y'all, there are opportunities that are all around. And it's really through the generosity of the church that we are able to take advantage of those. Generosity fuels the mission. If you're already giving to Mercy Hill, thank you for that. Man, let's continue the mission in light of kind of a crazy time that we are in because the mission of God don't stop. I mentioned that we are starting this new giving platform. Man, it's so easy, okay? You can set up a one-time gift in less than 60 seconds. You can set up an account to be a reoccurring giver in just about that same amount of time. It is super easy. You can find about all of that online. You can also text to give. Text MHGIVE to 41411. We'll pray maybe you'll take that action step today as the mission continues to roll.